This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Barack Obama and the Ethanol Scam, Serving the Captains of Capital. New York Times, June 23, 2008. An article by Larry Rota, Obama Camp Closely Linked with Ethanol. Let's go back to November 2006 and an article by Ken Silverstein in Harper's, Barack Obama, Inc., The Birth of a Washington Machine. Because in that article, we have Ken Silverstein setting the stage, Barack Obama serving the captains of capital. Ken Silverstein begins. In July 2006, on a typically oppressive summer day in Washington, D.C., roughly 1,000 college students from across the country gathered at a Marriott hotel with plans to change the world. Around noon, conference participants began filing into the auditorium. Activists staffing the literature booths abandoned their posts to take seats inside as well. The crowd and the excitement building in the hall was due entirely to the imminent arrival of the keynote speaker, Illinois Senator Barack Obama. The senator was running a bit late, but when he finally glided into the auditorium escorted by an assortment of aides, he was greeted by a tremendous swell of applause as he took to the stage. It was a rousing speech, Silverstein writes, and Obama is probably the only member of Congress who could have delivered it with any conviction or credibility. When he left the stage and headed toward the hotel exit, he was trailed by a pack of autograph seekers, picture takers, and glad handers. Obama's speech, however, had contained just a single call for political action. This was when he introduced Mark Pike, a law student who then came bounding across the stage in a green one-piece mechanics outfit as part of a campaign called Kick the Oil Habit. Pike was to depart directly from the conference and drive from Washington to Los Angeles in a flex fuel vehicle. Give it up for Mark, Obama had urged the crowd, noting that Pike would be refueling only at gas stations that offer E85, which Obama touts as, quote, a clean, renewable, and domestically produced alternative fuel. But what the senator did not elaborate is that E85 is so called because it's 85% ethanol, a product whose profits accrue to a small group of corporate corn growers led by Illinois-headquartered Archer Daniels Midland. Not surprisingly, agribusiness is a primary advocate of E85. Today on Taking Aim, we discuss Barack Obama and the ethanol scam as he serves the captains of capital. Ralph?
Maya, what is particularly interesting about the Ken Silverstein article in Harper's is that this is, and we'll come back to this article later in this program, Barack Obama, Inc., The Birth of a Washington Machine. It is a very unshielded depiction of how Barack Obama was handpicked, groomed, and packaged as a political force for corporate capital. That is precisely how it is played out. That is how it was conceived. This does not come as a sort of random circumstance. This was a grooming process. This is the way in which capitalist politicians are selected and, in a certain sense, hand-instructed and prepared. It is worth mentioning here at how Silverstein describes the process. It is startling to see how quickly Obama senatorship has been woven into the web of institutionalized influence trading that afflicts official Washington. He established a political machine funded and run by the standard Beltway group of lobbyists, PR consultants, and hangers-on. For the staff post of policy director, he hired Karen Kornbluh, the senior aide to Robert Rubin, when the latter was head of the Treasury Department under Bill Clinton, the chief advocates for NAFTA and the free trade policies that decimated the nation's manufacturing sector and the organized labor wing of the Democratic Party. His top contributors were corporate law and lobbying firms Kirkland & Ellison, Scott & Arps, where four attorneys as fundraisers for Obama as well as donors serviced the Wall Street financial houses, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase, and the large Chicago interest Henry Crown & Company, an investment firm with stakes in industries ranging from telecommunications and above all to defense. Obama immediately established the Leadership PAC, the vehicle through which members of Congress contribute to other politicians' campaigns, and one that political groups view as a slush fund through which congressional leaders evade campaign financing rules. Now, we're going to come back to this elaborated critique because it is devastating. But in particular, we have to examine what Ken Silverstein highlights and points to, namely the role of Barack Obama to the ethanol scam. And that takes us to the article in the New York Times by Larry Roeter on Monday, June 23, 2008, Obama camp linked closely with ethanol. When VeriSun Energy, writes Larry Roeter, inaugurated a new ethanol processing plant last summer in Charles City, Iowa, some of that industry's most prominent boosters showed up. Leaders of the National Corn Growers Association, the Renewable Fuel Association, came to help cut the ribbon. So did Senator Barack Obama. Then running far behind Hillary Rodham Clinton in name recognition in the polls, Obama was in the midst of a campaign swing through the state where he would eventually register his first caucus victory. As befits a senator from Illinois, the second largest corn-producing state, he delivered a ringing endorsement of ethanol as an alternative fuel. He has powerful constituencies that shaped these views. When it comes to domestic ethanol, Roeter writes in the New York Times, all of which is made from corn, his advisors and those who guide him have close ties to the industry. At a time when energy policy is a point of sharp contrast between parties and presidential candidates. In the heart of the Corn Belt that August day, Obama argued that embracing ethanol helps our national security because right now we're sending billions of dollars to the most hostile nations on earth.
Ralph, it's important to look at this quote by Barack Obama because over and again, one of his themes is energy independence, the false theme of John McCain as well. Although they come at it from different approaches. For Mr. Obama, again, we want to repeat this quote because he says, ultimately, our embracing ethanol, quote, ultimately helps our national security because right now we're sending billions of dollars to some of the most hostile nations on earth, end quote. And that in itself made me go to the internet to look at precisely where U.S. oil imports derive. And it is amazing because he's saying that the U.S. imports are going to the most hostile nations on earth. The primary exporter of oil to the United States, the country with the largest imports exports to the U.S. of petroleum is Canada, a nation to our north. Saudi Arabia, a close ally of the United States, is second. And third is Mexico. So of the top three, the two neighbors of the United States who are considered close allies of the United States, certainly not the most hostile nations on earth, Canada and Mexico, are the primary exporters of oil to the United States.
Maya, the criterion of hostility is in itself a charged idea. The claim that countries that have an aspiration to have some kind of influence over the disposition of their own natural resources, and that's what is the criterion for hostility, is itself a primary category of American imperialism itself. After all, what did Saddam Hussein want to do with his oil? Did he want to swim in it or drink it? The agents of U.S. imperialism in the region who have sought to obtain some cut of the proceeds, the trillions of dollars of proceeds, are dubbed enemies by the tiny little oligarchy that is our ruling class. And it is that which is the essential genesis of 9/11, the false flag operation, which is designed to provide a license to steal, a license to dominate, a license to kill, a license to go to war, a license to carve up nations, to dispose governments, to undertake a permanent occupation at the service of what? Securing the natural resources of subject peoples and of providing a rationale for the dependence of capitalism on arms production. Canada, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Nigeria, Venezuela, Iraq, Angola, Algeria, Brazil, Kuwait, Ecuador, Colombia, Chad. These are the countries from which the United States imports oil. In fact, as you mentioned, Canada overwhelmingly the largest supplier of oil to the United States. And indeed, the ruling class, the oil conglomerates, keep 60% of their wells capped to contrive the price speculative glut that represents trillions of dollars of profits. It's the oldest game in the world with commodity exchange, whether it's petroleum or diamonds or food, as we will discuss with ethanol. You manipulate a market to maintain artificial profits while you starve out the population of essential resources, and then you invent enemies on which to project your own vicious imperial designs.
And, Ralph, the top five countries, Canada, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Nigeria, and Venezuela, account for 69% of U.S. crude oil imports in April of this year. The top 10 sources, who you named before, accounted for approximately 89% of U.S. crude oil imports. So what we have here is Barack Obama pandering falsely pandering to a notion that, and an incorrect notion, as you rightly say, that the U.S. is depending upon hostile nations. America's oil dependence, he added, makes it more difficult for us to shape a foreign policy that is intelligent and is creating security for the long term. Another false notion. A notion that is catering to the sense of it is catering to American imperialism, which is dependent upon ever-increasing funding, diversion of funding to the arms industry. But let's look at who Obama is traveling with in foreign country. He is accompanied, according to the New York Times, by his friend Tom Daschle, the former Senate Majority Leader from South Dakota. Mr. Daschle, now out of the Senate, serves on the boards of three ethanol companies and works at a Washington law firm where he, quote, according to his online description, spends a substantial amount of time providing strategic and policy advice to clients in renewable energy, end quote, meaning Archer Daniels Midland. And the Wall Street Journal some time ago called Daschle Archer Daschle Midland. Ralph?
Yes, Maya. As the New York Times article states, Obama's lead advisor on energy and environmental issues, Jason Grumet, came to the campaign from the National Commission on Energy Policy. What is that? That is an initiative associated with Daschle and Bob Dole, the Kansas Republican who is the former Senate Majority Leader and a huge ethanol backer with close ties to the agribusiness giant Archer Daniels Midland, the New York Times writes. Right after arriving in the Senate, Mr. Obama provoked a controversy by flying at subsidized rates on corporate airplanes, notably the jets owned by Archer Daniels Midland, the nation's largest ethanol producer. Jason Furman, the Obama campaign's economic policy director, stated that Mr. Obama is motivated on this issue and will continue to determine this policy going forward. In short, he's going to put himself at the service of Archer Daniels Midlands. Mr. Furman said he represents the United States of America and his policies are based on what's best for the country. Mr. Dashiell, the national co-chairman of the Obama campaign, stated his role in advising the Obama campaign on energy matters was not as a lobbyist for ethanol companies, but did speak about renewable energy options, and he worked with associations and groups to orchestrate and coordinate their activities, notably the Governor's Ethanol Coalition. Well, what are we dealing with here? Ethanol is the critical area for the major conglomerates that are cannibalizing the food supply of the planet and substituting corn for fuel as a source of food, substituting the ethanol fuel for food production. We'll come back to what the actual kind of food production entails for Archer Daniels Midlands, but it is immiscerating the planet. It is also, by the way, when they do produce for food, the corn that they use for food is mainly for livestock. That is to say, for the mass production of cattle and beef, which in fact accelerates the starvation of the masses of the world who cannot consume the corn directly, but have to in fact see that corn used for beef they can't afford, and for the sustaining of cattle, which enormously pollute the planet, contribute to massive disease, and are a vehicle for preventing a cheap and affordable food supply for the many.
Ralph, aside from Archer Daniels Midland, there is the also Illinois-based Aventine Renewable Energy. Both of these agribusiness giants are benefited by the work of Barack Obama. And ethanol production for Archer Daniels Midland accounts for just 5% of its sales right now, although even though it's the primary ethanol producer. But it's an estimated 23% of ADM profits. Think about that. Now, what has Barack Obama done? Among the things that he's done in Congress to benefit the industry is one is known as the Obama Amendment, and that offered oil companies a 50% tax credit for building stations that offer E85 fuel. That's the biofuel, the 85% ethanol. He also voted for the corporate welfare-laden 2005 energy bill, which offered billions in subsidies to ethanol producers as well as lavish incentives for developing alternative fuel cars. As a press release, July 29, 2005, stated, Obama says, energy bill helps Illinois by doubling ethanol use, investing in clean oil. Now, this is from the ObamaSenate.gov website. This is his own press release. Obama says energy bill helps Illinois by doubling ethanol use and investing in clean coal. And again, here he promotes his tax credit, a $30,000 tax credit for the construction of E85 ethanol fueling stations. Ralph?
First of all, we have to make clear, as we will do in documentation in the course of this program, that the Archer Daniels Midlands ethanol project involves a greater use of crude oil and gas to sustain the ethanol production than would otherwise be the case. So, in fact, it is subsidizing the oil industry, which also, through Chevron and others, is behind the ethanol scam. But the interesting part of this is that an alternative ethanol derivative is that made from sugarcane, which is essentially what is done in Brazil. It is about eight times cheaper and eight times more cost-effective than corn ethanol. Barack Obama, on behalf of Archer Daniels Midland, has been sustaining a penalty for sugarcane ethanol and the government subsidy for corn ethanol. He is, in fact, on this to the right of John McCain. Here's John McCain. We've been making a series of mistakes by not adopting a sustainable energy policy. one of which is the subsidies for this corn ethanol, which I warned were going to destroy the market and contribute to inflation, McCain said in an interview with the Brazilian newspaper O Estado de São Paulo. It is wrong to tax Brazilian-made sugarcane ethanol. It is far more efficient than corn ethanol. It is a boondoggle for the corn ethanol people. Well, what he's referring to here is the marriage between Archer Daniel Midland's and Cargill and Barack Obama. Quote from the New York Times, Mr. Obama, in contrast, favors the government subsidies, which end up in the hands of the same oil companies he then says should be subjected to a windfall profits tax. In the name of helping the United States build energy independence, Obama supports the tariff, which is illegal under the World Trade Organization's rules. Many economists, consumer advocates, environmental experts, and tax groups criticize the corn ethanol programs as a boondoggle that benefits the agribusiness conglomerates. These complaints have intensified as corn prices have risen astronomically in tandem with oil prices, and the corn that is normally used for food stock is thus diverted to ethanol production at enormous profits to Archer Daniel Midland's and an enormous increment in the cost of food staples for the peoples of the world.
Ralph, there's a 54-cent a gallon tariff on imports of ethanol made from sugarcane. That's a 54-cent a gallon tariff for the product that comes from Brazil. As well, there's over a 50-cent a gallon subsidy to the oil refiners, the petroleum refiners, who include ethanol in their gas ethanol in their gas products. So the oil producers are getting a subsidy for including ethanol. There's a tariff on the import of a more efficient ethanol, if you even support the use of ethanol, from Brazil. The energy ratio for sugarcane ethanol is 8-1.
8-1, right.
While for corn ethanol, it is a unit of 2-1. And even this efficiency, which we will discuss, is not accurate, as we will discuss later in the show. The official home of the ethanol producers and consumers on the internet shows that in 2006, there were 101 plants in the United States producing ethanol, with another 39 under construction. The largest producer in terms of millions of gallons per year is Archer Daniel Midland's, with plants in Decatur, Illinois, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Clinton, Iowa, Columbus, Nebraska, Peoria, Illinois, and Walhalla, North Dakota. And then we have, that is 1 million, 1,070 million gallons per year. Avantine Renewable Energy, which I mentioned earlier, has two plants, one in Pickin, Illinois, with 100 million gallons a year, and Aurora, Nebraska. Cargill, the large private food conglomerate, has two plants with 120 million gallons per year. And then we have another producer, which we mentioned before in the beginning of the show, Verisun Energy, and there is 230 million gallons a year. And then there are smaller ethanol producers, and even Bill Gates has invested in ethanol production.
Well, Maya, all of the corporate speculators have been engaged in the ethanol, and we have to emphasize here, when you speak about Archer Daniel Midland and Cargill, you're talking about the conglomerates that control the food supply of the impoverished peoples of the world. What they have done is to eliminate self-sufficient food production on the part of overexploited peoples. They substitute, as the colonial project has always fostered, commodities instead of food. So the peoples of the world are unable to produce their own food because they're prevented from doing so by the conglomerates. And then the price on the commodity markets of the food staples themselves is escalating to a point where it can't even be afforded in the advanced industrial countries, let alone in the most exploited areas of the world. Here's a quote from the New York Times. If you want to take some of the pressure off this market, the obvious thing you would do is lower the tariff to at least let some Brazilian ethanol come in, said Seaford Runs, the economist specializing in commodities and trade policy at the Center for International Food and Agricultural Policy at the University of Minnesota. But the fundamental reason that biofuels policy is so out of whack with the markets in reality is that the corporate groups that dominate politics have sustained the construction of subsidies to support themselves. In short, the food cartels. The corn ethanol generates, less as you said, less than 2 units of energy compared to 8 to 1 for sugarcane. Never mind that. In the ethanol game, it's servicing the captains of capital. On the campaign trail, Mr. Obama, the Times said, has not explained his opposition to imported sugarcane ethanol. But in remarks last year, as President Bush was about to sign an ethanol cooperation agreement with his Brazilian counterpart, Mr. Obama opposed Bush, arguing our country's drive towards energy independence will suffer if Mr. Bush relaxes restrictions on sugar ethanol from Brazil and in any way affects the subsidy for the ethanol of Archer Daniels Midlands. It does not serve our national and economic security to replace imported oil with Brazilian ethanol, he argued. But of course, what he's talking about is not replacing imported oil, but protecting the monopoly over ethanol by Archer Daniels Midland. This is, in fact, a classical shell game that Mr. Obama is undertaking on behalf of his corporate masters.
And, Ralph, these were the same corporate masters, Archer Daniels Midland, that supported Bill Clinton. Dwayne Andreas, at the time, was one of the primary supporters of Bill Clinton in his first bid for the presidency. And the 2005 energy bill stipulates 4 billion gallons and rising to 7.5 billion gallons of by 2012 of ethanol to be mixed with petroleum in the United States. And at the time, Archer Daniels Midland was producing one quarter of this, one quarter. So we have an incredible subsidy to Archer Daniels Midland, not only in with the requirement that the largest of the ethanol processors is that their product is to be sold to the refiners, the petroleum refiners, but also there was a direct subsidy from the Department of Energy offering up to $160 million for the construction of 3 new biorefineries to expand ethanol production. So we have here ADM getting subsidized by the U.S. government, and here Barack Obama, the Democratic Party candidate for president, being a prime beneficiary of ADM largesse, and promoting this, we have here the close connection between capitalist rulers and the people they put into political office.
Well, let's be very clear about this. Barack Obama, an obscure figure in Illinois, even before he runs for the Senate, is handpicked by these people. Archer Daniels Midland, the people who are pushing the corn ethanol, looked to Obama as a figure who they could sell in order to promote their project. Here is Barack Obama, U.S. Senator for Illinois, on July 29, 2005. Obama says energy bill helps Illinois by doubling ethanol use, investing in clean coal. Clean coal, brothers and sisters? Clean coal, the most outrageously polluting energy source that can be conceived, dubbing that clean coal? U.S. Senator Barack Obama voted in favor of the Comprehensive Energy Bill, saying it will help America down the path to energy independence by doubling ethanol use, greatly increasing the availability of E85 ethanol pumps, and investing in flexible fuel, as well as coal technology. He warned that bolder action is involved if lawmakers are really serious about dealing with the high energy costs that are plaguing American consumers. Well, now let's look at that. The high energy costs, which have to do with speculation about a commodity, of holding back production, of manipulating its distribution, have vanishingly little to do with the question of ethanol. Ethanol is linked to the oil industry, and ethanol is linked to the automobile industry. Ethanol is but a boondoggle for the major captains of capital. Now, if we look carefully at this, what Obama is stating is that the first step towards decreasing America's dependence on foreign oil is to maintain the subsidy to Archer Daniels Midland for ethanol. 7.5 billion gallons of ethanol will be mixed with gasoline by 2012. 7.5 billion gallons of fuel that will be grown in the cornfields of Illinois and not imported from the deserts of the Middle East. The bill will triple the number of E85 ethanol fueling stations, providing tax credits for their construction.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Barack Obama and the Ethanol Scam, Serving the Captains of Capital. Ralph?
Well, Maya, it's very instructive because in the declaration by Obama in 2005 about the importance of subsidizing Archer Daniels Midland's and ethanol production, there was a response by the Conservative Heritage Foundation. Quote, "This bill will do virtually nothing to reduce any dependence on foreign oil. It won't reduce the price of gasoline paid by hardworking Americans. Even President Bush and supporters of the bill in Congress concede that much." So, indeed, what we have here is the fighting over the spoils in which actually Barack Obama is positioned to the right of the Heritage Foundation, indeed of George Bush himself, who hedges his bets, but not Obama with respect to ethanol and the ethanol scam, as we will begin to understand in a short moment, Maya.
Ralph, an article by Sasha Lilly, a special to Corp Watch, June 1st, 2006, Green Fuel's Dirty Secret. And in it, Sasha Lilly notes the giant agribusiness, the agribusiness giant Archer Daniels Midland, ADM, is the largest U.S. producer of ethanol, which it makes by distilling corn. ADM also operates coal-fired plants at its company base in Decatur, Illinois, and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and is currently adding another coal-powered facility at its Clinton, Iowa ethanol plant. So this ties into what you were saying about Barack Obama's support of coal-fired plants. That's not all. Quote, "Ethanol plants themselves, not even the part producing the energy, produce a lot of air pollution," says Mike Ewell, director of the Energy Justice Network. The EPA, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, has cracked down in recent years on a lot of Midwestern ethanol plants for excessive levels of carbon monoxide, methanol, toluene, volatile organic compounds, some of which are known to cause cancer. A single ADM corn processing plant in Clinton, Iowa, generated nearly 20,000 tons of pollutants, including sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, and volatile organic compounds in 2004, according to federal records. The EPA considers an ethanol plant as, quote, a major source of pollution. If it produces more than 100 tons of any one pollutant per year, and think about that. 100 tons of one pollutant, and here we have the Archer Daniels Midland's ethanol plant in just Clinton, Iowa, producing 20,000 tons of pollutants.
And the cap that the environmentalists have considered indispensable is that of 250 tons. Mm-hmm. 250 tons, not 20,000 tons.
No, Ralph, it was 100 tons, but in deference to the ethanol industry, the EPA was proposing to raise that cap to 250 tons, as you say.
Even as they are, in fact, generating 20,000 tons of pollutants. Here, the town of Columbus, Nebraska, bills itself as a city of power and progress. And as Sasha Lilly writes in her article, Green Fuel's Dirty Secret, if Archer Daniels Midland gets its way, that power will be generated by coal, the dirtiest form of energy. When burnt, it emits carcinogenic pollutants at the highest levels of greenhouse gases linked to global warming. What does Barack Obama call it? Clean coal. clean coal emitting carcinogenic pollutants at the highest levels of greenhouse gases linked to global warming. A single ADM corn processing plant, as you mentioned in Clinton, is in fact in itself generating 1,000 times as much pollutants as the limit, the minimal limit would mandate. Sulfur dioxide is classified by the EPA as the principal contributor to respiratory and heart disease and the generation of acid rain. The nitrogen oxides produce ozone and a variety of toxic chemicals contributing to global warming. Many volatile organic compounds are generated which are cancer-causing. Environmental Defense, a national environmental group, ranked the Clinton plant alone as the 26th largest emitter of carcinogenic compounds in the United States. For years, Archer Daniel Midland promoted itself as, quote, the supermarket to the world, unquote, on major U.S. radio and television networks like National Public Radio, CBS, NBC, and PBS, where it underwrites the most influential programs such as the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. It actively promotes its ethanol business. ADM has ruled out its new eco-friendly program, Resourceful by Nature, which, quote, reinforces our role as an essential link between farmers and consumers.
Ralph, ADM is ranked as the 10th worst corporate air polluter on the Toxic 100 list of the Political Economy Research Institute at the University of Massachusetts. The Department of Justice and the EPA charged the company with violations of the Clean Air Act in hundreds of its processing units, covering 52 plants in 16 states. In 2003, these two agencies reached a $351 million settlement with the company, which is nothing compared to the billions of profits. 3 years earlier, ADM was fined $1.5 million by the Department of Justice and $1.1 million by the state of Illinois for pollution related to ethanol production and distribution. And there are currently many suits and judicial proceeding and administrative cases connected to the federal and state Superfund laws regarding environmental cleanup of this site.
Maya, there are 25 separate judicial proceedings, Superfund laws that are regarding the environmental cleanup sites state that these are all contaminated by ADM operations. In fact, environmentalists have been crying foul for many, many years about the ethanol scam of Archer Daniels Midland, of which the major spokesperson is their hand-picked protege, Barack Obama. But they are up against, as Sasha Lilly states, the 56th largest company in the United States, ranked by revenue in Fortune magazine, with over 25,000 employees, net sales last year, $35.9 billion, $1 billion in declared profits, that doesn't speak of their offshore, 29% profit increase in the last quarter. The company is a global force. ADM is the world's largest processor of soybeans, corn, wheat, and cocoa, which it buys from growers in the U.S. and around the world. The company recently hired Patricia Wirtz, the executive vice president of Chevron Corporation, as its chief executive officer, cementing the marriage between the very oil industry that Barack Obama demagogically presumes to criticize with ADM itself, because Chevron is married to ADM and its executive vice president is the chief executive officer of ADM itself.
And remember, ADM is producing one quarter of the ethanol that the petroleum refiners are required to incorporate with into gasoline. Let's look more, Ralph, at the pollution, the effects of pollution. As Sasha Lilly notes, the enormous amounts of corn that ADM and other ethanol processors buy from Midwestern farmers wreak damage on the environment in a multiplicity of ways. Modern corn hybrids require more nitrogen fertilizer, herbicides, and insecticides than any other crop, while causing the most extensive erosion of topsoil. Pesticides and pesticide and fertilizer runoff from the vast expanses of corn in the U.S. prairies bleed into the groundwater and rivers as far as the Gulf of Mexico. The nitrogen runoff flowing into the Mississippi River has fostered a vast bloom of dead algae in the Gulf that starves fish and other aquatic life. These are not abstract environmental effects, according to Tad Patsek of the University of California's Civil and Environmental Engineering Department. These are effects that impact all the drinking water all over the Corn Belt, that impact the poison that people ingest when they eat food and the various pesticides and herbicides. Let's look at one of these herbicides, and that's atrazine. The EPA set a maximum safe level of atrazine in drinking water at 3 parts per billion. But scientists with the U.S. Geological Survey have found up to 224 parts per billion in Midwestern streams and 2,300 parts per billion in the Corn Belt irrigation reservoirs.
Well, Maya, let's look at this here. Greenpeace International accused Archer Daniels Midland of funding, along with two other agriculture commodities traders, most of the razing of the Amazon rainforest. The group states that Archer Daniels Midland, along with Cargill and Bunge, are responsible for 60% of the financing of soy production, which is, after all, by the way, a manipulated soy production, a soy production that involves artificial seed soy production that is a major contributor to disease, in the vital rainforest ecosystem. Archer Daniel Midland lends money to farmers who plant in areas of the rainforest illegally cleared, according to Greenpeace, and then finances the shipping of the soy out of the region. It has set up 4 grain silos in the Amazon. The primary destination is Europe, where it ends up as high-protein cattle feed. ADM is being sued by the International Labor Rights Fund for trafficking and torture and the forced labor of children who cultivate to harvest cocoa beans in the Ivory Coast. The suit is filed on behalf of Malian children brought against their will as child slaves to the Ivory Coast. The company, as well as Nestle's and Cargill, turns a blind eye to the use of forced and slave child labor in the cocoa plantations where Archer Daniel Midland processes chocolate. It is unconscionable, states the International Labor Rights Fund attorney Natasha Thies, that Nestle's, Archer Daniels Midland, and Cargill ignore repeatedly the well-documented evidence over the years that the farms they use to grow these crops employ child slave labor. They could put a stop to it, but they look the other way. They facilitate it. We are going to court as a last resort. Let's be very clear about what we're dealing with here. This Archer Daniel Midland's whoring of politicians has as its prime project the ambitions and presidential aspirations of Barack Obama. And there's nothing ambiguous about this. And ADM has another resources at its disposal, as Sasha Lilly documents, the considerable clout it has built up over decades of courting and lobbying Washington's power brokers. Days after the February expansion of the coal-fired Nebraska plant of Archer Daniels Midland, the U.S. Energy Secretary Samuel W. Bodman visited ADM's Decatur headquarters to tout its part in President Bush's biofuels initiative. The Secretary of Energy posed for photos with ADM Chair G. Allen Andreas and announced that the Department of Energy would offer up to $160 million of subsidy for the construction of 3 biorefineries to expand Archer Daniel Midland's ethanol production. Quote, "Partnership with industry will lead to new innovation and discovery that will usher in an era of reduced dependence on foreign sources of oil, strengthening our economy at home," Secretary Bodman said. Where did he say that? Standing on Archer Daniel Midland's trade floor. Like the ADM ethanol plant in Columbus, the 3 biorefineries will be coal-powered. given the absence of conditions imposed by the Department of Energy. It has been 30 years since we got a call from the White House asking for the agricultural industry, and Archer's Daniel Midland in particular, to take a serious look at the possibility of building facilities to produce sources of energy for our fuel supply in the United States, said Alan Andreas, who the chair, chief executive, and president of Archer Daniels Midland during Secretary Bodman's visit. We are delighted to participate in the president's programs, unquote. President's programs, that's President Bush. Barack Obama is the servant of the project of Secretary of Energy Bodman, of George Bush, and above all, of Archer Daniels Midland's. And ADM and its signature project, as Sasha Lilly states, have never lacked friends in high places, despite a history of price-fixing scandals, monopolistic crimes. The Andreas family has headed up a publicly traded company for decades, has cultivated bipartisan support through generous donations to both Republicans and Democrats. Since the 2000 election cycle, ADM has given millions in political contributions to, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. Millions to Democrats, millions to Republicans, sustaining a multitude of government subsidies to ADM, ethanol tax credits, taxes against foreign ethanol competitors, and federally mandated ethanol additive standards. That's the project, and that's the role of Barack Obama.
Ralph, I'd like to refer to an article from 2006, June 25th, New York Times, Boom in Ethanol Reshapes Economy of Heartland by Alexei Barrionuevo, and I recommend our listeners go to it. In it, Barrionuevo quotes from an economic forecaster who states, by the middle of 2007, there will be a food fight between the livestock industry and this biofuels or ethanol industry. As the corn price reaches up above $3 a bushel, the livestock industry will be forced to raise prices or reduce their herds. At that point, the U.S. consumer will start to see rising food prices or inflation. Today, 2008, the corn is now at $8 a bushel, not $3 a bushel. It has gone from $2 a bushel before in 2006, 400% increase to $8 a bushel. And this economic forecaster had stated that even if it went to $3 a bushel, the battleground is likely to shift to some 35 million acres of land set aside under a 1985 program for conservation and to help prevent overproduction. Farmers have paid an annual subsidy averaging $48 an acre not to raise crops on the land. But the profit lure of ethanol could be great enough to push the acreage, much of it considered marginal, back into production. And what we have with ADM, betting its future on ethanol, they note, is embracing a shift from food processing to energy production, as you stated when it hired Patricia Wirtz, the former executive from Chevron. One quarter of ethanol production ties to the Democratic Party, as well contributing to the Republicans, helping put Bill Clinton in office and now helping put Barack Obama in office. In our closing moments, though, Ralph, we should address the real question about ethanol, aside from its environmental devastation, aside from the devastation of the food production, aside from being a corporate boondoggle and subsidy. Does making alcohol from grain or plant waste really create any new energy? And this in an article by Robert Bryce, dated July 19, 2005, and published in Slate, entitled Corn Dog. Hey, wait a minute. The ethanol subsidy is worse than you can imagine. He addresses this very important question. Is ethanol truly an energy source?
Yes, Maya, but the essence of it is this. The modern-day gold rush, writes Alexei Barrionuevo, is driven by a number of factors. Generous government subsidies, surging demand for ethanol as a gasoline supplement, a potent blend of politics and the prospect of generating 100% profit in less than 2 years. This is a bit like a gold rush, stated Warren R. Staley, the chief executive of Cargill. Yes, Maya.
Ralph, let's address, is ethanol an energy source? David Pimentel, a professor of ecology at Cornell University, has been studying grain alcohol for 20 years. Tad Patzik, an engineering professor at the University of California, Berkeley, has written definitive articles about ethanol from corn. And Patzik is tied to the petroleum industry, the UC, an oil consortium. He does research for oil companies, but his research on ethanol is considered state of the art. And Patzik writes that ethanol requires 29% more fossil energy than the ethanol fuel itself actually contains. The two scientists, one with oil industry connections and the other without, both calculated that all fuel inputs for ethanol production, from the diesel fuel for the tractor planting the corn to the fertilizer put in the field to the energy needed at the processing plant, they examined it all and found that ethanol is a net energy loser. According to them, ethanol contains 76,000 BTUs per gallon, but producing ethanol from corn takes 98,000 BTUs. For comparison, a gallon of gasoline contains 116,000 BTUs per gallon, but making that gas from drilling the well to transportation through refining requires only 22,000 BTUs.
Maya, let's deal with what is at the heart of this. Over many decades, Archer Daniel Midland has been the company that has been the largest recipient of government largesse, federal and state corn and ethanol subsidies, multi-billions of dollars. Even the libertarian Cato Institute declared ADM the largest recipient of corporate welfare in the history of the United States. Recent legislation has greased the tracks of the ethanol gravy train, as it's described indeed by Sasha Lilly. But one other aspect of this. To understand the hidden costs of corn-based ethanol requires factoring in the huge and monstrous costs of cleaning up the pollution in the Mississippi River drainage basin that results. The negative effects of poisoning the Gulf of Mexico, said Todd Petzik of the University of California's Civil and Environmental Engineering Department. 200 times more atrazine, which is a carcinogenic. Indeed, the pollution that arises, the carcinogenics that result, have exceeded all safe levels of drinking water, which is estimated at 3 parts of atrazine per billion, when scientists with the U.S. Geological Survey have found 224 parts per billion in Midwestern streams, 2,300 parts per billion in the Corn Belt irrigation reservoirs. Let me repeat this. The safe amount is 3 parts per billion. The actual amount is 2,300 parts per billion of this carcinogenic herbicide atrazine that is the result of the ethanol subsidy and scam, brothers and sisters. That is the meaning of the captains of capital and their purchase of the politicians of the two political parties and their point man, Barack Obama.
Ralph, let us conclude. Ethanol is poisoning the environment. It is a corporate boondoggle. But also, when ethanol is blended with gasoline, the gasoline is less efficient. We are not getting clean air. We're not getting a clean environment. We are giving money to the corporations, and we are not getting more efficient fuel. When gasoline contains ethanol, you don't get the same efficiency. You have to fill up your tank more often because there is water. Ethanol absorbs water and gasoline doesn't. This also requires that ethanol is shipped by truck, rail, and barge. It cannot go through pipelines. It causes the water causes the ethanol, when it's mixed with gasoline, to evaporate more quickly. That means there is a continual diversion in the gasoline process to changing always throughout the year the production of the gasoline. So what we have here is a terrible inefficiency, all for the profit of companies such as ADM. To conclude.
Well, Maya, The Department of Agriculture estimates that the Corn Belt, as a result of the subsidization of ethanol production, has lost 90% of its wetlands, and two-thirds of which have taken place since draining for this agriculture. No one who has looked at this issue from an environmental perspective talks about using corn kernels as a long-term solution. It will be a marked reversal of decades of government policy in support of Archer Daniels Midland if that were to occur. But, quote, with the full-throated support of the Bush administration, in the words of the Renewable Fuels Association, the corn ethanol-dominated ADM-led trade group, that day will not approach any time soon. And you can be damned sure that with a Barack Obama as their primary project, it will never end at all. The last word here for the analysis in the New York Times by Alexi Bernuevo, and she's quoting the environmentalist Mr. Boss, who says, current incentives to make ethanol from corn are too attractive for producers and investors to worry about the future. With oil prices at $70 a barrel, the average processing plant is earning profits of over $5 a bushel of corn that it is buying for less than $2 a bushel. Well, those profits have doubled, brothers and sisters. Boss concludes, it is truly yellow gold. Yellow gold it is, brothers and sisters. Yellow gold, Barack Obama and the captains of capital.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Barack Obama and the Ethanol Scam, Serving the Captains of Capital. We'll be on our website, www.takingaimradio.com. Please contact us at takingaim@pacbell.net. That's PACBELL.net. We'll be with you next week. Big, 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 big